Father, as we gather here this morning, we pray that you would just open our hearts to receive your word. Mold us each into disciples who follow you with all of our heart, soul, and mind. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So many years now, I did a summer internship with a company called Monsanto, which is now owned by Bayer. And part of my responsibility was to oversee the market research of a new herbicide that they were introducing. And so I traveled throughout the Middle West during this time and interviewed farmers and focus groups. And I led them through cornfields to evaluate how well this weed-killing product was doing. Well, I learned quite a bit about corn farming, because that's what they grow out there is corn. And it's not about the quality of the seed, but the soil that influence its yields. So corn is something called a heavy feeder crop. And this means that when it's grown, it takes a lot of the nutrients out of the soil. And therefore, farmers have to rotate corn with soybeans every other year because the soybeans have the ability to take nitrogen from the air and replace it into the soil. And if farmers don't rotate their crops, the soil becomes depleted of nutrients and can damage from disease and insects and weed infestation becomes more likely, which reduces the quality of the crop and the yield. And so corn has a better chance of thriving in soil where the nutrients have been replaced and other pests have been controlled. And the same is true with the word of God, as Jesus teaches in the parable of the sower. Now, the ability of the word of the kingdom to bear fruit in the life of the person will depend less upon the quality of the message that is proclaimed and more upon the receptivity of those that are hearing. And so turn in your Bible to Matthew 13. We're going to be looking at verses 3 through 9 and then 18 through 21 as we continue our sermon series called Closer to You, Connecting with a Fallen World. Now, this parable, of course, is one of the most famous of all of Jesus' parables. I mean, I doubt anybody has not heard this parable. It's very famous, but its title is actually misleading. Its four-part structure focuses not on the sower, or even on the seed, but on the different types of soil where the seed falls. And interesting enough, the traditional German title, The Four Types of Ground, better reflects what this parable is really all about. Now, the sowing envisioned in the parable is more likely to be wheat or barley because that was the two principal crops that were grown in Palestine at this time. And as the farmer sowed, we're told that some of the seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it up as soon as it was there. The farmer didn't intentionally sow on the road. It's just that some of it inadvertently fell there. Now, other seed fell upon rocky ground where they didn't have much soil, and because of the fledgling plants had no roots, they withered in the hot sun. And the other seed fell among thorns. The thorns grew up and they choked the plants. And the third scene describes the danger of not clearing the soil from competition. It could be the seed was sown among dried thorns from the preceding year, or it could be that the seed was sown in a plowed field where the thorns were later to grow. In any case, the problem is that the soil is already occupied, and there's no room for another type of vegetation. The plants do not necessarily die, but they can't produce grain because of the competition for light and nutrients. And then other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, But we don't know what indication any of these were. We don't know the proportion that were in each one of these. We're not told, and that really isn't the point of the parable. Now, the primary point is to explain the mixed response of the Galilean ministry of Jesus. Not everyone embraced the message that Jesus was preaching. And so he wanted the disciples to understand, why didn't everybody receive it? The disciples were to take courage that there is fruitful as well as unfruitful seed, and that where the seed has not grown, the fault lies in the soil, not in the message itself. I can't tell you how often, you know, we Christians are so concerned that they won't understand, we don't have enough knowledge, all these things, and we think it's all about us. And it's not about us, guys. It's about the soil that we proclaim the message to. You know, and sometimes churches get frustrated because people seem to be rejecting the word of God. They feel that they must be doing something wrong because nobody seems to be responding to the preaching. They think they have to make the word more relevant or to interpret it in new ways. And as society changes, it puts pressure on churches to do something different. Maybe what we thought was sin, maybe it really isn't. You know, behind every conversion are individuals who have dedicated themselves to praying that the Lord would open their hearts to receive and embrace the gospel. And that's why it's really critical at this time, as we are preparing for moving to a new location, and we still don't know where that is, but that the Lord would begin to prepare the soil. Because it's the type of soil that we plant in that will determine the harvest. Not the age of this congregation, not how well you know Scripture, not what you think you're supposed to have, but it's how well the soil is prepared. And so let's cultivate this soil right now with our prayers. Now in verses 18 through 21, Jesus explains privately to the disciples the kinds of receptivity to the kingdom, the word of the kingdom, that they would likely experience. And yet even within the church, you find each of these different kinds of hearers. It's not just something outside of the church, but it's something inside of the church. And that's why Jesus says, he who has ears, let him hear. Because it's true for any of us. So the first kind of hearer is likened to compacted soil. This is the calloused hearer. The failure of the first seed to penetrate the earth symbolizes a lack of understanding of God's word. You know, I remember when I was learning to play golf when I was a teenager, my dad would take me out to play 9 holes in the evenings. And after a while, I noticed that calluses were beginning to develop in my palms. And so these are the places where, upon repeated friction, the grip of the club was creating a thickening of the skin on my palms. Calluses formed to protect the palms, in this case, you know, underneath. Well, there are people today who've developed thickened layers over their hearts. They don't want to hear the word of God. No matter how sweetly you proclaim that word of God, no matter how relevantly you proclaim the word of God, they can't hear it. They don't want to be impacted by the word of God. They've resolutely kept themselves away from the influence of the word of God. These may be people who avoid churches altogether. But you can also find them in the church. But they're not at church to say, well, Lord, how do you want to use me? They may be there to criticize. They may be there to find fault. They may be there to fulfill some religious obligation or chore. But they don't really say, Lord, how do you want to use me? What are you saying to me today? Now, Jesus may have been using this first kind of soil to refer to the Jewish nation. They seemed to be happy hanging around Jesus. They liked hearing his sermons. They enjoyed watching him do miracles. But they didn't want to repent and obey. They were a calloused group of hearers. And as a result, when the word of the kingdom of God was preached, it was unable to penetrate. And Satan just snapped it right up. Now, the second kind of hearer is the superficial hearer. And so these are the people who hear and receive the message, but they don't really understand it. They are represented by the seeds that fall on the rocky ground where the roots are not able to grow deep. They have an artificial understanding of Christian teaching that creates initial enthusiasm without consideration of the meaning. Their enthusiasm is based on external stimuli, not on an inner conviction. And so it will not last when the external stimuli is no longer there. And I can think of plenty of people who've been to churches and they are swept away by the emotional experience of worship. The nice things they hear from a sermon. The people that they meet. The beauty of the liturgy. And they'll say, okay, I want to be a Christian. And they may even say, hey, it's cool to be a Christian. You know, or they may be facing some kind of problem. And they say, you know, my mom is really sick. I want to become a Christian. Or my business is failing. I want to now trust God and become a Christian. But then the scorching sun comes. Following Jesus will not always be fun. Following Jesus will not always be easy. There are no guarantees against suffering. In fact, it's just the opposite. And these rootless people, for all their initial enthusiasms, are in the end no better off than the snatched seed as far as the kingdom of heaven is concerned. Faith that is real does not stop. It does not quit. It doesn't fizzle out, but it keeps on believing even during times of suffering. And that's why Peter wrote in the very first chapter of his epistle, he said, rejoice, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith may be found to result in praise and glory and honor to the revelation of Jesus. Discipleship is riddled with hardship. And that means our church must be a place where we help people persevere in times of persecution and suffering to make their calling and conversion all the more certain. The third type of hearer is the cluttered hearer. So these are those who want to be disciples of Jesus, but at the same time, they want all the things of the world. They have cares. They want the pleasures of life. They want riches. But they can only have one. They can't have both. And soon one will dominate over the other and the seed dies. True disciples have left everything. The tension symbolized by the choking of the grain demonstrates a lack of room for both God and manna to take priority in a person's allegiance. The grain may survive. You might see the plant, but it will produce no fruit for the kingdom of God. You know, the Bible provides us actually with an important illustration of this, a man named Demas who traveled with Paul. And his name is included in both Colossians and Philemon in the greetings. By the time that Paul writes 2 Timothy, however, this is what we read. For Demas, in love with the present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. You know, Demas looked like the real deal. You know, he was following Paul from the beginning. And it wasn't easy to follow Paul. Paul went through lots of hardship. And Demas was there following him. But after a while, he became a cluttered hearer. He initially followed Jesus, but soon the cares and pleasures and riches of life dominated his thought and life in such a way that he fell away and deserted Paul. The faith that fizzles at the finish was faulty from the start. Some fall away because of hardships. Some fall away because of luxuries. But they are both ultimately unfruitful. Now, the final type of hearer is the cultivated hearer. The understanding, which is explicitly absent, at last has been achieved. The bearing of fruit indicates that this understanding is, it's not an intellectual understanding. It is a lifestyle commitment which the message of the kingdom demands and which was missing in the other hearers. There can be no discipleship without the word of the kingdom taking deep root in our lives. The word of the kingdom thrives when it's understood by hearing and studying God's word. It can develop deep roots through years of endurance, through suffering and hardship, and where nothing else is competing for attention, time, and resources. Someone said that you can count the number of seeds in an apple, but you can't count the number of apples in a seed. We can never begin to grasp what God's word can accomplish in a cultivated heart. Anything is possible. God can use us to accomplish great things for his kingdom that we could never possibly imagine. In fact, would be impossible. A cultivated heart will eventually sow seeds themselves. Disciples in whom the seed of the gospel has taken root will become sowers. As we begin to sow, God will change our hearts toward those outside of the church. We'll begin to love them. We'll begin to pray for them. We'll begin to preach the gospel to them. And with time, we'll begin to see conversions. And so ask God today to plow your heart. Make it soft. Make it ripe. Make it ready, and may God bless you with wonderful fruitfulness. What kind of hearer are you? I long to see a people, the people of St. James, to bring great glory through a hundredfold of what God has planted in our midst. Because the kind of hearer you are will determine the kind of disciple you become. Let's pray. Father, we just, we thank you for these incredibly profound words of Jesus in providing us with an understanding of the way the word of God works. And Lord, as we reflect on the different kinds of hearers this morning, Lord, reveal to each of us kind of here we've been. And let's be honest with ourselves. And look, and if you've noticed today that maybe you've been here that hasn't borne fruit, and you see that you align yourself with one of these other kinds of hearers, it's not too late. But I just invite you to confess that to the Lord. And ask Him to change your heart. I pray that you would change all of our hearts, that we would become hearers that truly hear and understand, that we would have cultivated hearts so that you can use each of our lives to bear much fruit for your kingdom. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.